Welcome to Bombs Away, the Ask Me Anything spinoff from the Photobomb Podcast. I am here with my partner, my brother, my compatriot in authenticity and transparency, Bouray Perry. How are you today, Bouray?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. So we are here to answer any and all questions related to photography or otherwise, and we've got some good ones today, and these are all submitted by our listeners on our Facebook page. So if you're not on the Facebook page, go to facebook.com/photobombpodcast, like, follow, set those alerts, and make sure that you get that stuff, because then you can participate in this conversation as well. Bouray,
yes.
Any one of these stand out to you that you want to start with today?
Well, there were a lot of good ones. The most intriguing one to me was the series on what is your dream photo assignment and what famous person in history would you like to photograph, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we've got Pete Wright, friend of the show, friend of ours, wrote in your dream photography assignment in a single shoot. What would that be, Bouray?
Oh, in a single shoot.
Yeah. What would your dream photography assignment be?
Okay, well, you know I have a problem with these sorts of things because I need qualifiers.
Okay, let's make some qualifiers.
So, first of all, is this a modern-day shoot or could be a shoot from any time in history?
I would say current, right now.
Like today, I get a call, we want you to do this shoot.
Yes, it has to be possible right now.
Okay, well, my problem is it's not, I probably wouldn't pick something because of my intense desire to photograph that thing.
Right.
I'd be more likely to pick something because of, I want to meet that person and that would just be a way for me to do it. Like I
was thinking the same thing. Like what I would like the most to do is I'm not thinking about who or what, but I was thinking about where.
Okay. Yeah. Where works too.
And so for me, I would probably be like, I would love if National Geographic called up and they want me to photograph the leader of a bunch of different nations all over the world for one story, and I would be doing the definitive portrait for each person. Okay,
but
in
it's
each
a
country.
It's a 1 day shoot,
right?
Didn't he say it was a 1 day shoot?
Yeah,
okay,
or single shoot, single assignment. So that's my one assignment.
Single assignment.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, we'd like you to be the official photographer on the first manned mission to Mars.
Ooh, all right, that's a pretty good one.
But more likely, something along the lines of Sandra Bullock would like a boudoir session and she would like you to do it. That's probably really the
Sandra
one.
Sandra Bullock, that's the one you pulled out of all of the celebrity women in the world. Right. You pull Sandra Bullock.
I have no qualms about it, and I've said it straight to my wife's face. If I had a shot with Sandra Bullock, I'm taking it. I'm sorry.
She's the one out of
Sandra
all of them.
Sandra Bullock, of all of them, yes. She's always been the one.
She's a talented, fine looking woman.
If it could be anybody in history, any time in history, then it would be Sandra Bullock when she was about 22. That would be the same. It would be the same the same thing, but like right before she made While You Were Sleeping.
Okay, so I just want to picture you out on the town with a 22-year-old Sandra Bullock on your arm.
I could have pulled that off, man. I'm telling you. I had game at that point in my life. I had the game.
You're the age you are okay. Now.
Well, no. Oh, well, no. In this fantasy, I'm 22 and she's 22. That's when I had my game with a girl like Sandra Bullock. Yes. A good, nice, sweet girl next door kind of girl. That, yes. I had game with that girl. I could have gotten that girl. Now she's a huge celebrity and everything, and I wouldn't stand a chance. But
so now we've gone from dream photo assignment to just dreams.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying that the whole photo thing would just serve as a conduit to what I really want, which is, I think we've established, Sandra Bullock.
Yes. Yeah. I think that's funny that both of us, because I want to travel and just go and see amazing things and meet amazing people, but really that's funny for both of us. The photography part is secondary.
Okay, so let's talk about, still is, it could still be secondary, but let's talk about historically. Is there an assignment that you would like to have or a job that you would like to have? And I, for example, if you could assure that I would come out of it alive, I would have loved to have been a correspondent photographer during World War II.
Yes, Kelly Barnes writes in, if you were able to photograph five historical figures, who would they be?
That's next, but we're still on the same topic.
Okay, all right.
So now, historically, okay. What would the job be? Like I said, I would like to have been a correspondent photographer during World War II. If you could guarantee I was going to come out of it alive, I would have liked to have documented that. Or even the Civil War would have been exciting. I wouldn't mind being a White House photographer during the Clinton administration because whether, you know, feelings on Clinton and the stuff he did, sure, okay. But everyone has always said that his charisma was amazing, and it would have been something to be there and witness that in the Oval Office with celebrities and kings and princes and, you know, coming in, and that, and then being the person who photographs that would have been, I think, exciting.
Yeah.
So that would be two of my like historical jobs that I would like to have had.
Yeah.
What about you?
Anything where I get to travel around the world, and my ultimate dream job really as a photographer would be, I love editorial portraiture. I love character portraits more than anything else. And so photographing really notable people in really interesting ways and doing it for national publication, that would be, and just any flavor of that would be good.
How about like staff photographer, Life Magazine, 60s in the 60s?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I could get behind that. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, we need you to go out and we're doing a 4-page spread on Sinatra, and we need you to go out to his home and get a couple of shots.
Photograph yeah. John Lennon with his new
yeah.
Boat,
there you go.
Whatever. Yeah. There you got go. It. Yeah.
Well, and then there's another. I wouldn't mind. How about photographer for Rolling Stone in the early 70s?
You know, yeah. Late 60s, early 70s. That's sort of like, I would say the peak / death rattle era of rock and roll, to where it like is the peak of the original right. wave of rock and roll into the death rattle rolling into disco. That would have been the best yeah. time when it wasn't. Yeah. That would have been. Yeah.
I would have especially liked it back when it was, you know, you're doing these portraits, but there's no studio, there's no lighting. It was, you know, go out and hang out with John Lennon for the day in New York City and take some photos for this story. You know, that's the kind of assignment.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I can get behind that. Yep. All right. I concur. That sounds great.
Okay.
All right. So if you were able to photograph five, well, five's a lot. So let's just pick
five historical figures. I think it's not enough.
You've got five ready to go in the chamber.
I could easily have five historical figures. Anybody from history?
Yep. Go for it.
Again, it's going to be people I want to meet more than people I want to photograph. The first person at the top of my list, anytime there's a list like this, is always Benjamin Franklin.
Benjamin Franklin.
That dude, right? I mean, that's the top of the, if you could bring anyone forward in history to today, who would it be? Just to show him around? Benjamin Franklin.
He'd be a blast to drink with as well.
Right, and he'd be a guy who, you know, he'd have so many insights, and he invented so many things, and he's still forward-thinking, and yeah, Benjamin Franklin. Wouldn't you like to photograph Benjamin Franklin?
I mean, I'd be worried about the double chin issue.
Probably. I don't care about that. I just want to meet the guy. I mean, you know, Benjamin Franklin, Abraham Lincoln, Thomas Jefferson, Confucius, Jesus. Mm. I mean, the list could just go on and on and on. Hitler, just to photograph him. I'm sure, right? There's a job.
Yeah, that is certainly a job.
Nobody from history? I mean, come on. You love Yusuf Karp's picture of
Winston Churchill. I like a lot of Winston right. Yusuf Karp.
So you have to have yeah. some people from history. I mean, how would you like to do the senior portraits for Anne Frank or Joan of Arc? Like Joan would have a sword, you know? And
yeah, I think we could. I'd put her right by a stack of letters that said something like 1375 instead of like 1980.
In a balloon. Yeah. Some balloons.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Senior.
Yeah, with a birthday cake. Yeah.
Senior Joan. Yeah. Right? So really, and so from history, nobody that you've always just thought, wow, I would have really liked to have photographed that guy.
I'm sure that I could think of somebody really cool. You know, Abe Lincoln. You might need a step stool to photograph
sure.
Abe Lincoln.
Sure.
That'd be kind of neat. Yeah, that's a guy who went through some stuff, right? Like, that guy would be interesting to talk to. Yeah, for sure.
A young Audrey Hepburn, a young Lauren Bacall. You know, these classic Hollywood icons when they were young in that period, that time, to photograph them and in that style, right?
Mm.
What was it like to be those photographers shooting those Hollywood starlets in that day, you know, those who went on to become these great icons of cinema? You know, nowadays, I think it's overdone. Nowadays, I think if you're photographing a celebrity, that celebrity gets photographed so much that they don't even know you're there. They just walk in and go, yeah, hi, how you doing? What do you want me to do now?
Yeah, there aren't that many great, like, true photography icons that all they do is they photograph celebrities in interesting ways. Last of the greats, probably Annie Leibovitz, maybe Platon, you know, stuff like that. I mean, a couple, but really that's just a job that photography is almost disposable now. So you got to be really, you know, you got to be a really big, powerful artist. I don't think that it was, I don't think it's nearly as impressive now as it used to be.
No, because there's just so much of it.
Cool job.
Back in the day when it was film, it was a big deal to have your portrait taken. You know, it was, oh, having my portraits done today. Oh, okay. That's a deal.
Yeah, you like a Greg Gorman, David LaChapelle. You know, those are sort of more modern era of those guys, like your Harrells and your Karshes. But yeah, there aren't that many of those out there right now that even that you're probably your average photographer could even name. They would probably just name somebody who has a really cool, bright and airy Instagram wedding feed or something. You know?
So nobody from history that you can think of who's like, this is absolutely top of my list. I would want to photograph this person.
All right.
Because I want to meet them, because I want to meet them, or because I want to photograph them, or both.
I would say it would be pretty extraordinary to get to photograph Napoleon.
I swear to God, I was waiting for you to finish what you were saying so I could say, what about Napoleon? I was just like, oh, just as soon as Gary finishes saying whatever he's going to say, I'm going to suggest Napoleon, and he's going to be
Napoleon
like,
Napoleon would be great, but I don't think photography was invented yet.
So, no, but it's anybody from history.
Okay, so Napoleon, Bill and Ted style, time machine phone booth, brings Napoleon to my studio.
The idea is photograph anyone from history.
The problem is you wouldn't be able to convince anybody that it was Napoleon. You would be just like a guy who kind of looks like what we thought Napoleon
might
look like.
You're going way outside the parameters of the game. You have to just imagine that you could photograph someone from history today with your equipment.
Well, I'd probably have to learn how to speak French.
See, no, you're going way too far.
Am I overthinking?
Yes, it's Napoleon. Okay. I think Napoleon is good. You think about that guy. What kind of photograph would you produce of that guy? What was he really like? You know, and you know he was short and he had a complex and he was an emperor and you know there's a lot there, right? So yeah, Napoleon, right? That's a big one. Charlemagne, you know, Richard the Great, Richard the Third. So yeah, there's a lot of. There's a lot of people. So then we come to, speaking of not really a real person, fictional people.
Fictional.
Are there any fictional people that you would like to photograph? For example,
all my stuff might be fairly obscure other than like saying, you know, I think probably one of the coolest portraits to take would be in fiction would be Roland Deschain, the gunslinger from the Dark Tower. That would be a
okay.
Cool
there portrait. You go. There you go. What about Daenerys Targaryen?
I'm a little I'd be a little scared of the dragons. Yeah. But yeah, sure. Yeah.
How about anybody? How about Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Forrest Gump, Captain America. You could do any of King Arthur. Aragorn.
Aragorn, son of Arathorn.
Aragorn, son of Arathorn, right? I actually was thinking about this in the shower, and then I thought, "Oh, if you're going to go that far, I'll take Bugs Bunny."
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah.
The problem is would you get him to pull put the carrot down for a minute? Would that be?
I don't know. That would be part of the shot, I think. Right, but Bugs Bunny, if he was, you know, if you could photograph Bugs Bunny for real, if a real person could photograph, wouldn't that be pretty cool? I mean, how cool would that be?
But how do you light a cartoon?
I don't know. Michael Corleone.
Ooh, that would be a good one.
Or his Starface. Father. Or his father. Yeah. You know? I mean, you start going on a... Jessica Rabbit.
Okay. Yeah, you could do a two-way boudoir shoot between
Sandra Bullock
and
right?
Jessica Rabbit. That would be great.
That would be pretty cool.
Although, I wonder about Jessica Rabbit. Does she only have the one outfit? Or does she need a wardrobe consult?
That's a good question.
Yeah. Well, all these questions we would find out if you got to photograph them.
There's a writer named David Eddings, and he wrote fantasy books. He wrote like a 10 or 12 book series that started with a book called Pawn of Prophecy, and he wrote another like 8 book series that started with a book called The Diamond Throne, two different characters and worlds. And both of them had characters. In Pawn of Prophecy series, the Belgarde series, he had a character named Palgara, who was a sorceress who never died, but had and was beautiful, but had the demeanor of basically your stern mother. You know, she wasn't like one of those crazy witches. She was just a very proper, stern person with a solid thing who argued with her father, but also happened to be an unimaginably powerful sorceress in this world where there weren't very many of them.
Like a hot schoolmarm.
Yeah, exactly. Very much a MILF. And so she was a great character, and I would like her. And then the other book, there was a knight named Sparhawk, who was a knight of the church, who was a rough and tumble kind of guy. And I liked him a lot. I would, if they were real, I would enjoy photographing them. Not because I wanted to get to know them, but because they had such strong force of will and personality that it would be fun to try and capture that.
I still think Bugs Bunny is your best answer. Yeah. That's a solid choice.
Well, you read a lot of books and stuff. I mean, you read a lot of fiction. There's no favorite character from fiction. Like, oh, Paul Atreides of House Atreides from Dune. Frodo.
Yeah, I have lots of characters. Yeah. I mean, most of my stuff is, I said Roland the Gunslinger, probably, let's say, Harry Bosch from the Michael Connelly detective series. I always really liked those, too. It'd be really cool.
Right,
although
okay.
He probably wouldn't stand for a portrait. He wouldn't do it.
Is that the character that the TV series Bosch is based on?
Yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. I never watched that series, but that's based on Connelly books?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Been going for like 25 years or something like that, book series. There's like 20-something books in the series. Yeah, really good.
And the Spencer for Hire and the Spencer books, there's a character named Hawk. That guy's supposed to be pretty bad. Or Spencer, for that point, would be pretty. Or Philip Marlowe, the detective.
Yeah, all right.
Sherlock Holmes.
Scrooge McDuck.
Scrooge McDuck would be good.
He'd probably stiff you on the bill.
Yeah, though. He would. There'd be no tip.
Get it, the bill.
There would be no tip.
He's a duck, because he's a...
I just let that go by. Like a fastball.
I knew you did. But I wasn't going to let you do it. I was going to bring it up and say, see what I did there.
Oh, you know what we didn't do? We were talking about Rolling Stone reporter. Also an album cover photographer in the 70s would be good. But even today, wouldn't you like to be the woman at SNL?
Mary Ellen Matthews, is that who it is?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's a dream job, right? To have that job every week, you photograph a different celebrity.
I take back everything I've said thus far about dream job, and I would just take her job.
Right, absolutely. This is a real job that happens right now. That's her job.
Yeah. I mean, there's no way I would do it better, but I would try.
No.
I would do my best.
No, it would be a disaster.
So moving on. If you could have one superpower, what would it be and why?
Oh, well, this is one of those that, I mean, of course I have an answer for this because we've been having this debate since I was 12. You know, this is a classic nerd debate.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it always comes down for me to two choices. The loser is invisibility. That's the one that loses. And it loses out to flight.
Just simple flight.
It's got to be flight. I mean,
not like telekinesis where you can also make yourself fly.
Well, that's two powers because you can, telekinesis where you can levitate yourself.
Yes, because I guess you wouldn't probably.
Okay, so I can make myself levitate, and I can also levitate other objects.
That's correct.
And I can levitate them at great speed.
I would say probably levitate them as fast as you can throw a baseball.
Okay, well, if you want to go that detailed into it, then sure, because now I get to fly, and I also have this other power, too. But
basically a Jedi if you have telekinesis.
Yeah, but typically, you know, we try to stick with just your core powers. You know, invisibility, flight, super strength, super speed, X-ray vision.
Don't you feel like if you were flying, you'd just get up there and lose all sense of direction? Be like, I thought this would be way cooler, but I'm very cold. I can't hear a thing, and I have no idea where I am.
Well, I wouldn't go that high. You don't have to go that. That's the thing. You don't have to go that high. You can just go like 300-400 feet, and you can see everything. Basically, you are your own Google Maps. You just look down and go, oh, there. Just follow that road.
Yeah, I feel like you need some kind of a harness for your phone, you know, to go around your neck so you could actually,
See where you were going.
Navigate well, because the reality of flight isn't quite as sexy as flight in the comic books. I just don't think. I think it'd be very hard to figure out where you were going.
Oh, I maybe. Yeah.
Like, would you still? You'd still end up probably most of the time following roads because that's how you know.
Yeah, because
that's
how you know the world. Sure.
But which almost defeats the purpose of flight.
But if you did it all the time, you would get to recognize landmarks in the same way that you do driving. Like here, you would go straight up, and it'd be like, okay, there's Tampa Bay, there's the peninsula, there's Clearwater and St. Pete, there's Tampa, there's New Tampa. You would recognize it from the air, the way a pilot does, and you would just go, okay, I've got to go to St. Pete. Boom, and you would shoot to St. Pete. And
would you wear goggles?
Well, only if I needed them. It depends.
I mean, I think you'd need them.
I don't know. Does the flight come with, you know, the eyes that can withstand the wind pressure, or is that something I'd have to take care of? What's yours? You haven't said what yours is. What's the superpower?
Yeah, I'm stuck between super healing. I think that would be a really cool one, like Wolverine style regenerative ability. would be pretty cool.
Right, to the point where you don't die?
Well, yeah, but which would be kind of a bummer watching everyone you know get old and die. That would be, you know, the old Who Wants to Live Forever, Freddie Mercury joint. Flight's a pretty solid choice, but I gotta say, I think I'm into the telekinesis, man. I dig it.
But what if you was telekinesis, but you couldn't fly? You could just move things with your mind.
How why would I not be able to move myself with my mind then?
It's too heavy. So, Luke Skywalker has telekinesis. He doesn't fly. He can jump. He can assist himself in a jump, but he can't fly. He can't just levitate himself and fly across.
He just hasn't practiced that.
Okay, well, I'm just saying. Let's say it's a telekinesis ability in which you've got. Let's say it's Jedi level telekinesis.
Okay, then probably time travel.
Ooh, now time travel.
Time travel, absolutely.
I didn't think about that as being a superpower. Yeah. And what would you do with said superpower?
Play the stock market.
Okay, so your whole superpower is just to be rich?
Mm-hmm. Oh, and also, if I say something stupid and I get embarrassed, I can go back in time 10 seconds and not say it. That would be pretty cool.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I would like time travel just because I'd want to jump into the future and see what it's like.
Yeah. Time travel would be great. Yeah.
Yeah. You want to read an interesting book? There's a little book called, I think it's called The Accidental Time Machine. And it's about a guy who creates a time machine. And every time you use it, it takes you twice as far into the future as the time before.
Hmm.
So, and it's also great, you know, just like with this virus, it's exponential. So the first few times he uses it, you know, he jumps a few seconds, he jumps a minute, a couple of days, he jumps a week. And the next thing you know, he's at the point where if I use it now, I'm going to jump 100 years. And the next time I use it, it's 200 or whatever, whatever the number is. And so it follows his jumps and the life that he has to make for himself because of them.
I would basically just be, you know, Biff Tannen from Back to the Future using Gray Sports Almanac to get rich.
Well, then it's just getting rich. I mean, your superpower, why don't you have your superpower be, I'm rich?
Well, that's not a superpower.
Well, I know, okay.
Or I could have the golden touch, or I could touch things at will and turn them into gold.
There you go.
Yeah, that way I could have lots of gold for doomsday prepping, which would be good because I'd know about doomsday because I would be able to time travel. Wait, I already gave that power.
That's right, you've already, that's, you, oh. You only have the one power. I think it's interesting that all your powers just simply revolve around you being rich. Whereas I want...
No, my first power was telekinesis, and you said I could only lift myself. Life. I could only... You said you limited my telekinesis power.
Here's the thing. I feel that if I had the power of flight, I would be rich.
Well, I mean...
I'd be able to make money off of that somehow, right?
It depends. See, here, it's very unlikely for you to have a superpower and to live in a universe where no one else has any superpowers. So inevitably, you would...
Say, well, now you're going down a different path.
Well, I'm just saying...
You're talking about what superpower to have if you lived in a universe where superheroes were real and you'd have to be one. Okay,
yes.
Well, now, if I had to be one and I was just... All I could do was fly like Hawkman or Angel... Then yeah, because that's pretty lame. Because you gotta go, what can you do? I can fly.
This guy's like, I shoot time vortex laser beams out of my eyes and I send you a billion years into the past. She's like, well, that's better than flying. That's pretty cool.
Give me something else. Yeah. So if you're talking about a world where there's all these other powers, then, well, now you're talking about we've got to have a power that's good for fighting people with other powers.
And then you're back to invisibility.
No. Invisibility you just want because when you have this first discussion when you're 13 years old, your first thought, if I was invisible, I could go into the girls' locker room at the school. That's basically the whole reason that you want invisibility when you're 12. Will I be able to see naked women if I have this power?
However, I put it to you, if I've got enough money, I have no problem getting women to get naked for me.
That's true. That also solves your problem.
So therefore, we're back to time travel.
If it's got to be in a world where you're fighting, etc., and you can't have multiple powers, like Superman has multiple powers, and Peter Parker has multiple powers, then the single one power that would probably be most beneficial might be super speed. Because if you've got super speed like the Flash, there's a lot you can do with it.
Yeah. Okay, I can go with that. If you're in a hyper-competitive superhero universe, then you've got to have super speed.
Got super speed. Super speed's a lot.
If you can vibrate at a frequency so high, you can walk through walls, you can punch at 5,000 miles an hour. Yeah, that's pretty soft. Super speed.
Yeah, super speed is tough to beat. I'm trying to think. What other superhero has just one power?
I feel like you'd just go through a lot of clothes if you had super speed. You know what I mean? You go through so many clothes. Because then you'd need a rich benefactor to keep buying you new outfits. And so there, you and I would be the perfect superhero team. I'd be the rich guy, and then you'd be the fast one. and you'd use all your super speed powers, and I would just use my infinite wealth from my time travel knowledge to replenish your wardrobe.
That would work.
That's our superhero team.
I like on the. I think on the Flash TV show, that one of the things I liked was that they had the fact that when he's used his super speed, he has to eat like a lot, because the calories that he burns are amazing. So he has to just carb load like crazy in order to be able to do it.
You're a super fast superhero. What's your superhero name?
I like a name that just describes what you are. So my name would probably be like Fast Guy.
That's the worst.
I mean, I am Fast Guy. Yeah, that's because that's what I like. You know, I hate the name of this little segment because it doesn't describe this. You know, my favorite name ever for a program is Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee.
Right, because it is exactly what it says.
Exactly what the program is. So my name would just be like Fast Guy.
Alrighty. Well,
I mean, there's already so many of them. How many super speed guys are there in the Marvel Universe?
Quicksilver, the Flash. Evil Flash, Reverse Flash.
There's that one that's in the Canadian supergroup in Alpha Flight, him and his sister. He was the first gay superhero in Marvel. I don't even know his name. He's French.
Oh, man. You know, this is one of those moments where I was like, if I had the perfect quip for that, he's super fast, he's gay, he's Canadian, there's something there. Yeah. You're missing it. There's like a joke floating above my head.
Yeah.
Ah, well. All right. So I'm just saying,
having super speed is a pretty common superhero trait out there in that
world. It would make the commute to work a lot nicer.
Second only to super strength, which is like the most common.
Okay. So let's see. We got a couple of just comments, feedback from listeners. Amy wants to know, what is your opinion on Tiger King? Can you give us a brief breakdown on your opinion on Tiger King?
On the show or on like the whole situation?
I would say, of course, the show is a masterpiece of American cinema, and there's no debating that. So why don't we just say what your thoughts on the situation? Some of that.
I don't know that he legitimately hired somebody to kill somebody. I do know, or at least suspect. I mean, I didn't see the court stuff, that he absolutely broke the law several times in terms of care for the animals.
And did Carol Baskin kill her husband?
And you know, I don't know. I don't know, because I don't know. Did the Hillsborough Sheriff's Department do a good job investigating that crime? I don't know, you know, but I have to assume that they did. And if they found no proof, then they found no proof.
And then there you have.
So, you know, I mean, you can't, you know, somebody's found innocent. You can't. Everybody thinks they know. Oh, I know. Well, we don't know. Right. We don't know. I mean, to kill somebody, that's an act that's, wow.
Let's just all be grateful that we're alive in a time where Tiger King happened.
Yeah.
so we can have it to watch during the quarantine.
What scares me about the world is when the guy ran for governor of Oklahoma and got like 20% of the vote.
Mm-hmm.
That right there tells me I never want to live in Oklahoma. Sorry, Oklahoma listeners. But if I go to a party, and if there's five people in a room and one of them is likely to have voted for that guy for governor, I don't want to know you. You know, come on. I know.
Nah, I don't know. Like, I'm of the mind. It's like he couldn't. First of all, one, he couldn't be that bad. Like,
Yes, he could. I am so tired of this attitude that we have cultivated in our country that the person that I want for this job that is extremely demanding and requires a high degree of skill and expertise is the person that I would most like to have a beer with, or the person I think has good common sense.
Before you go down this hole, and I know this is a deep, deep hole for you. So before you go down this hole, what I meant was, how much worse could he make Oklahoma?
That's true. Now, then, Oklahoma's a fine state. It's a fine state. But I do. We have this whole thing now where it's like people want to elect someone to an elected office or whatever to do a job that they would not hire to run their own company.
Yeah, I wouldn't hire that guy to run a pool cleaning business.
Yeah, they're like, you know what? You know, I'm glad you got good common sense and everything, but you have no experience whatsoever in running a pool cleaning company. And there's all these other people who do. So you're not even in the running. But when it comes to politics, we're like, oh, yeah, absolutely. Put that guy in charge of the budget.
Yeah, that's a big, you know, that's a hard.
Because that's what it is. That's what it is. I mean, when you're talking about politics and stuff, it's not. He's run a company. Running a company is nothing like running the United States of America, for example. Oh, the stuff you have to deal with and the numbers and the Oh my gosh. So, you know, that's why I'm, when they use it against people, they go, oh, that person's been in politics for so long. I'm like, yeah, he knows where the salt and pepper are. He knows how to make the goulash. You know what I mean? He understands how to run the company. Like, if I got to hire somebody to run my company, I'm not going to disqualify the dude that's been working there for 20 years. I'm like, yeah, he knows how to run the company.
In the ancient Japanese tradition, like the CEO of Nintendo is retiring. Yeah. And so the board of directors, they get together and they go, I got an idea. Let's go ahead and hire this toddler to be our new CEO. Let's do it. Why not?
Let's just hire somebody who, you know, we think he's got good ideas. He has no experience with video games. But let's get that. Just doesn't happen in the real world, but it happens in politics all the time.
Yep, absolutely does. Okay, so we're out of time. And thank you guys for listening to another episode of Bombs Away. If you have some ideas and things that you want us to talk about, send us an email, questions@photobombpodcast.com, or follow the Facebook page, facebook.com/photobombpodcast, where you can interact with us. And go ahead and use your listening app right now, your podcast app, to leave us a review and let us know how we're doing. And a good review, 5 stars, is great, and it lets other people know about the show and enables us to reach more people. So thanks again for listening. Bure, I appreciate your expertise on so many things. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to write an impassioned letter to Sandra Bullock and let her know that you're ready to leave your wife.
I'm telling you, I love Sandra Bullock. I've always loved Sandra Bullock. And I have this feeling that I would have a shot with Sandra Bullock. Not today. Not this guy. But back when I was like any time between, say, 25 and 35, I could have had a shot with Sandra Bullock if she wasn't famous. Because she just seems like a genuine, nice person, real person, you know, and she's smart. She has horrible taste in men, which I would be refreshing then in my appearance on the scene.
Well, you know, I think you're selling yourself short. I think you got a chance now.
No. Yeah. I'm shot now. Sandra Bullock's held up much better than I have.
There's no question. But you're funny. So that's good.
Yeah. She meets a million funny people.
All right. Thanks again. And we'll see you next time on Bombs Away.
See ya.